Minecraft is a game about mining and crafting. Quite literally, it's in the name. But to me, Minecraft is mostly about building. And that's been my passion for the last almost 4 years now. I've made hundreds of builds in all different shapes and sizes, and I'm bringing you this long-ass video as an all-in-one place to improve your building skills. And I guarantee you that by watching this entire video, you will be a better builder.
Let's get started.
Alright, so starting out, I'm gonna quickly cover the things you should always be doing or using when building in Minecraft. The first thing, which I feel a lot of people don't even know about, is to use hotbar saves. This simply lets you put blocks in your hotbar, save it, and then you can reload that whenever you want. For me, this makes building so much more enjoyable because you don't have to spend half of the bloody time looking for blocks. Say you need spruce blocks, bang. Detailing blocks, there they are. My second recommendation is to use shaders to make your builds look better. Now, I am half joking when I say this because a lot of people like to claim certain builds only look good when shaders are on, which, I mean, they're kind of right. The truth is that everything looks like shit without shaders on, so I recommend using them if your PC can run them. And if not, just try using those super simplistic shaders that are potato-friendly, like Complementary Reimagined. Also, if you want your game to look exactly like mine, luckily I have a video for just that, link in the description. And the last thing I'm gonna mention is to use reference images when you build until you're more experienced and can build without them. It's easy to be overwhelmed when you load up Minecraft and say, I'm gonna build a medieval house. Then you might say to yourself, where do I start? Or, you know, this is too hard, I give up. My friend, your savior is reference images. Now, when I say reference images, I'm not meaning to use other Minecraft builds as reference. That can be a good way to learn when you're just starting out, but the reference I'm talking about is real-world buildings, 3D models, things from games, etc. Go to Google Images, search whatever your build is, and get a few pictures up. Use elements from each one and make it your own. And also, always give credit to whatever you use. And one quick bonus thing that you don't absolutely have to use, but will make your life way easier, is World Edit. It's a mod that allows you to build quickly and easily with commands like set, which allows you to set a specific block in an allocated region, replace, which lets you replace certain blocks with other blocks, and walls, which makes walls. I'll be using World Edit in this video, and if you want to learn how to use it, there's heaps of videos out there, so I recommend giving it a try. Okay, and last bonus tip is I definitely recommend exploring builds yourself and discovering the techniques and details that were used. And for that, I have just the perfect thing, my Patreon. Each tier is able to download my builds, with the highest tier being able to download my entire building world with over 1,000 builds I've created. So be sure to check it out if you want to explore the builds I showcase in this video and further your building skills. Themes are a very important aspect to any Minecraft build. You obviously need to consider what theme and style you want to build in. You've got themes like modern, medieval, Japanese, natural, overgrown, ruined, futuristic, industrial, dark medieval. You know, the list goes on. It may be wise to choose your favorite theme and stick with that to build up a repertoire of designs and details for that particular theme, as I feel that's the most efficient way to improve as a builder. Once you've gotten a grasp of, let's say, medieval builds, then you can branch out and try dark medieval, gothic, Japanese, ruined, overgrown, things like that. But for the sake of this video, I'll mostly be covering the medieval theme as I feel it's probably the most popular and it's also my favorite and I feel I have the most experience in that style and I don't really want to give advice for things I don't know much about. Okay, so starting off, we're going to talk about block palettes. And just as a little side note, this is my building platform and this is the first time I've actually been able to see the entire thing and I think it looks really cool. So once again, if you want your Minecraft to look like mine, I highly recommend checking out the video in the description, okay? But yeah, so back to block palettes, we're starting off with something pretty simple here where we just have primarily spruce wood and spruce planks used. You can see I have the block palette off to the left here. And yeah, block palettes are honestly a very important aspect to building that I don't even do very well because as you can see here, and in a lot of my builds, I use predominantly spruce wood and stone as shown over there and in, you know, a lot of my builds, okay? So don't judge me. But I do highly recommend actually sticking to some more simplistic block palettes while you're starting out and then you can branch out to some more complex ones once you've, you know, gotten a grasp of how to build with certain styles more, you know, predominantly, I guess. But yeah, so here's some block palettes shown in actual builds. Here we have like a spruce gate that does look kind of weird. Honestly, I probably would strip a bunch of these spruce wood blocks nowadays. This is quite an old build. But over here, you can see another spruce build that's actually done pretty well. We have these like palisade style walls. This is the block palette, obviously, over here. We just have pretty much three blocks throughout this whole thing with a bunch of, you know, accenting spruce blocks. Over here, we have like a stone slash a little bit of spruce wood block palette here on this gate where we've used, yeah, just our texturing with some stone bricks and stone, which we'll get into in another section later on in this video. And we have just a little bit of accenting blocks with some spruce wood trapdoors. We also got some leaves and stuff and just a bunch more like accenting blocks as well. This next one is a bit of a nether kind of block palette. Another very simple one. We just got deep slate tiles, warped hyphae, stripped, whatever it's called, and then warped planks as well. And that gives a very nice kind of blue nether vibe to this one. And then over here we have another stone one, except this time we've utilized a bit of a ruined aspect. And over here at our block palette, you can see we have the same block palette from our previous stone build, but we've incorporated these new blocks here to add that ruined look to our whole build by adding, you know, leaves and mossy cobblestone, and we got andesite scattered throughout that as well. Also forgot mossy stone bricks. We got them as well over here, so they should be, you know, probably right there. And yeah, so just adding those simple blocks there gives us a bit of a ruined look as well. And yeah, so obviously there are a lot more block palettes throughout. This one's a little bit overboard in my opinion. I didn't build this, and I don't know who built this in my world. Also, I don't know what that's doing there. But you can see this is also utilizing a bit of a gradient, which we will also cover later in this video. But here's a really awesome build done by my good friend Extra Builds. And this is using a really nice block palette using some mangrove logs, mangrove planks. We also have diorite and blackstone in the roof as well. And that just gives a very classic kind of barn look to it. And it just looks awesome, dude. So yeah, there's definitely a lot more block palettes out there in the world. I'm going to leave them for you to discover because, again, it's not really my strong point. As you can see, a lot of my builds are mainly stone and spruce, which is something I definitely need to work on as a builder. So yeah, let's move on to the next segment. All right, let's get on to some detailing. As you can see, right now I have just, you know, probably the noobiest kind of house you can make. It's literally just a square of spruce planks. I mean, there might even actually be a roof on this, but I've just left it off for now. And so I think what I'm just going to do is just go through all of the details I would add to this to make this into the perfect medieval house. Starting off, of course, with the most important thing in my opinion, which is pillars. It's just going to make this look way more like a house and instead of just, you know, a box. So let's first grab out some spruce logs and we're going to replace our corner blocks with those logs. And as you can see, even with just that, it has made this look a little bit more like a house. The next thing we can actually do is connect those pillars up along the top here to have something like that, and that gives us an even better frame. And what I might also do is add in another log in the middle here that gives us two separated walls to work with. And I'm just going to quickly add this to the sides and also the back, so just give me a second. Okay, and here is our house so far now, and the next thing we obviously need to add is a roof to this. Now we could just do, you know, the old bog standard stair roof. This is pretty much, yeah, just the roof that everyone adds, and I mean it is tried and true, you know, it's going to work for everything. But there's a lot of different roof styles that you can try to definitely make your builds look a lot more interesting than, you know, just this kind of roof. Say you wanted something a little bit more mellow, you could go with a simple slab style roof like this, and that always looks good as well. But my personal favorite is to do a mixture of both of those styles. So we're going to start out with slabs like this for maybe the first 2.5, and then we're going to transition into stairs on the top half leading up to the top of the roof like this. And see, that way we get like a nice kind of like curved roof like that instead of just a straight angle, either really steep with stairs or really mellow with slabs. And that gives us like, yeah, just an interesting angle to work with. There's obviously a lot of different roof styles you can go with. You can go with something like this where you kind of have a steeper slab style roof. You could do something like that, but put stairs on top instead to have it even steeper. Like something like that would go really high up. Those are good for really tall houses. So that's just a couple of different roof styles you can play with. And also what I recommend doing with roofs is using a trim block instead of like the main block. Like instead of just using spruce for the entire roof, we could do a trim of stone and then use spruce for the inlay of the roof, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to quickly get that set up and I'll show you how it looks afterwards. All right, and there is our new house. We've got the roof added on, we're protected from the rain now, and it's starting to look a lot better now. But there's a lot more things we can do to this to elevate it even further, with the next most important thing being some depth. Right now all of the walls are very flat, they are literally just a single plane, and so there's a couple different ways we can actually add a lot of depth to this build, with the first one being to add some stuff on the kind of external part of the base. And my favorite thing to do is adding these little sticking out parts in all of the corner sections of the pillars here. I'm just going to do it to the front for now. But so even just that first thing already adds a lot of depth into this. And you can take it even further by maybe adding some stairs under these. You could add some spruce fences in between these, and then you could put maybe a lantern hanging from that to brighten up your base as well. You could also elevate this kind of pillar part further by maybe adding like some stripped logs at the bottom. And you could even add some fences in between those or something like that. If you wanted to go super extravagant, that looks good as well. And so you can see we've added a lot of depth to the kind of outside layer here, but on the inside layer, it's still very flat. And the next thing we can do for that is actually insetting the walls. And what that means is we're going to simply put the walls in by one block, and that gives us this whole layer here to add detail to. I'm going to do it to this other side as well, just to, you know, give us some more room to play with. Yeah, so in here, we obviously need to add in a doorway, and we could simply just slap in a door. Also, pro tip, add in, you know, your floor block on the bottom here. But yeah, so we could definitely just add our door in, but right now this looks very blocky, and my favorite thing to do is adding stairs above our door here, and that just makes that transition way smoother to the door, and yeah, I pretty much always do that without fail. The next thing we could do is adding a nice arch into this area here. It's always just the perfect detail to add, so we're going to add two stairs like that. We could elevate this further by adding in some trapdoors in between these, and that just makes that arch even smoother along there, and that looks perfect, man. Now, we're going to keep the consistency going and add another arch on this side, and I reckon a nice window here would look really good as well. So we're going to employ this same tactic here by using a smooth transition into our window. So we're going to add that at the top and the bottom, and then we can add in our window block here. That could be like a fence, it could be a fence gate, it could be a glass pane if we wanted. Any one of those is going to look great. And now, turning our attention down to the bottom here, we can do a lot of different things. We could add flowers, we could add azaleas, we could also do one of my favorite things, which is actually replacing this stair block here with a full block, and we're going to add some grass blocks along here, followed by some spruce trapdoors to cover up those exposed blocks, and then we could place in a flower here. We'd have to remove these to add in more flowers, of course, but that looks great as well. You could also, instead of doing that, you could do something like this. You could just have a single table, add our trapdoors back in, and then on there, you could put any kind of decoration. You could put a lantern, you could put a flower pot with an azalea. I mean, that's obviously going to cover up all of the window, but yeah, you could put any kind of detail in there, and it's always going to look good. Also, one extra thing we could do to add some depth on the outside here is just adding some buttons on here, whether that be wood or stone, that's going to look great. We could also add our lanterns back on there if we wanted, and now, yeah, that is looking like a truly detailed base. It might even be too much detail. At this point, I might actually remove these, and that just looks a lot kind of simpler, and yeah, I think that looks better than just having the rest of all that stuff. It was a little bit too much. You could even go as far as adding those trapdoors there as well. I think that looks good too. And so yeah, that's our house so far. Obviously, with these inset walls, we'd do this to all of the sides, but the only downside with inset walls is that you're going to have a much smaller interior, which does kind of stink. So you can see before we had all of that space, and now over on this side, we're going to have literally, this is going to be the size of our interior. So you kind of got to plan out, you know, if you're going to inset your walls or not, and you got to make your base a lot larger than you thought. But yeah, that's just about going to cover detailing and pretty much the exterior of house details and stuff like that. So let's move on to the next segment. Next, let's get into texturing and how that can actually improve a pretty simple build and make it look a lot nicer. So for instance, here we have this big kind of cliff thing in the water. Honestly, it's a pretty cool generation. I actually didn't build this at all, but something we can do to elevate this build even further is by adding some texturing to it. And all that is simply just sprinkling in a bunch of blocks that look similar to the original block. In this instance, we have stone, and we could use a number of different blocks like andesite, cobblestone, stone bricks. I usually like to keep it just two different blocks in total, for instance, stone and andesite, but you may want to mix in maybe like 3, 4, 5 different blocks. You could go as far as that. Like for instance, stone bricks here just definitely adds in a lot of extra detail to this as well. And that's just a really easy, simple way to make a build look a lot more complex than it actually is. And this extends to our house over here as well. We could add some texturing pretty easily to all of these walls, and it's going to make this base look a lot more complex than it does right now. So for example, a perfect texturing block that I would add to this is some stripped spruce logs, because they look very similar in color, but the texture is quite different. As you can see, we have kind of horizontal texturing here, but this way we have vertical texturing. I mean, you could place these like this if you wanted to, but I would almost always do that. And that's a really great texturing block for any kind of spruce like house build or anything like that. And also the thing with texturing is you want it to look pretty random, and that's going to mean putting blocks close together sometimes. So for one wall, I might do something like that, but for another wall, you may want to keep it kind of spread apart like that. You definitely don't want to have a repeating kind of pattern, I guess. Like this does look like a K, and I would kind of avoid that, and I'd probably just go with something like that. But yeah, obviously it'll take practice getting the perfect kind of texturing patterns. You can also use world edit for this to texture a large area area as well. So I'm just going to set this back to spruce planks, and we could do / set, and we could do spruce planks and then a comma and then our stripped spruce logs. And that's just going to texture it. Obviously that doesn't look very good, but let's do another one. That doesn't look very good either, but yeah, see, that looks kind of good. I might actually even go in and kind of change that a little bit, but that's also a good way to kind of get an idea of how you might want to texture something. And it's a quick way of doing it too. All right, now on the other side of our big old wall here, I'm going to showcase gradients. And so gradients are kind of similar to texturing in that we're making a build look more complex just by simply replacing blocks. But this time, instead of just randomly scattering around blocks, we're going to make a specific pattern starting from the bottom and, you know, working our way up to the top. I'm actually going to make this more of into a flat wall to kind of illustrate this better. But yeah, so one of my favorite gradients is this one right here. We go from moss blocks, mossy cobblestone, mossy stone bricks, and then to stone bricks. And that just gives a really nice overgrown kind of look. And I love utilizing this kind of gradient in water here. So down in the water, it might be, you know, the most kind of mossy because water has been, you know, sitting on it for a long time. And so this might extend up kind of like this. Another tip with your gradients, you definitely don't want to do kind of a harsh gradient, like, you know, having all moss here, and then we're going to transition to mossy cobblestone and then stone bricks like that. You definitely kind of want to make it a little bit more loose than that. And so that might actually include making our moss maybe look like this or even that. Then we're going to transition into mossy cobblestone for our next block, like maybe something like that. And then to mossy stone bricks, and then finally stone bricks for the rest of our structure here. And that's just a really nice way to get an overgrown look. Now you can of course do this with completely different colored blocks, like you could go from black blocks to white if you wanted to. This is kind of the only gradient I've ever really used. And you can see that used here in my medieval dam build. We've basically got the exact same thing I just talked about. We've got moss blocks to mossy cobblestone, mossy stone bricks, and then finally into stone bricks. And that makes our dam look a lot more lived in and like it's been here for a long time. Okay, now it's time to start getting into the specifics. I'll be going more in depth with a bunch of different topics with things like interiors, houses, castles, pathways, and more. And I'll provide a bunch of my knowledge on all of those things. Starting off with interiors here. Let's just say this is the inside of your base at the moment. Obviously we don't have a roof. Don't worry about that. But you know, where do you start? How do you get started with an interior? And it's definitely a lot harder, I think, than an exterior, but it'll take a lot of time to learn, understand, and master. So basically the goal is to just fill up our interior with as much useful stuff as we can and just fill in all of the blank spaces with decorations and details, and most importantly, useful stuff. So let's just say, let's actually mark in our doorway here because it's going to help us, you know, kind of design the interior here. So we're just going to say this is the door to our base. And so the first thing I usually take into consideration is where I want to put the bed, because I'm going to want to be quickly coming in here and just sleeping and then going back out if I don't have a bed, you know, in my inventory. This is specifically while playing survival, by the way, but I do like to take that into account, and I usually like to place it directly opposite the door as long as it's not too far away. So let's just make this our bedroom here. And so that leads on to the next thing, which is actually defining our sections. And if you have pillars like I do for our house here, I usually like to use those to kind of define our separated sections. So that gives us a 3-block wide section here to work with for our bedroom. And we could either add in a couple extra beds if we wanted to, or something else I like doing is adding in some bedside tables, whether that be, you know, out of some spruce logs or anything like that. And then the next thing I like to do is add a carpet with the same color of the bed kind of around in a ring like this. And then under the bed, as you can see, we still have stone here. So we can replace that with some red wool to kind of make it look like the carpet extends under there. And dude, these freaking pillars just keep spawning. I'm literally just going to copy and paste everything and move it away because they're pissing me off. Look at him. You're a little shithead, man. Okay, we're in a new spot. We don't have any pillagers annoying us. And yeah, so let's continue on with our bedroom here. So on top of our bedside tables, we could add in, you know, just any kind of decorations. I like to usually keep my interiors pretty bright. And so I like to add maybe a lantern on one side. You can even do a couple of candles if you wanted to. And then on the other side, I like to add in a flower pot with any kind of flower. And that always looks great for some bedside tables. Another thing you could do is also replace these tables with some barrels if you wanted some extra storage. And so obviously the top here is quite, it's quite empty, and we definitely need to add something up here, whether that be maybe a row of barrels. When I go with barrels, I like to usually make these look supported, and I do that with Whoopsie daisy, what am I doing? I like to do that with a nice kind of shelf design, whether that be something like this. You could kind of invert that and do something like that. You could even, if your interior is pretty high, you could make these up higher, add in your shelf design, and then you could maybe add in another shelf design here. If you, actually, we really don't have enough space for that, so never mind. But yeah, you could go with barrels. Another thing I love doing is leaves. Let's add in 3 oak leaves where our barrels were, and then I like to usually surround these with trapdoors to make it look like, you know, it's kind of contained. And that's just a really nice detail to liven up your base as well. Make it look a little bit more lush too. And that right there is the perfect bedroom to me. Honestly, you don't really need to add much more to that. And so I'm actually going to move on to now the floor design. I kind of probably should have done this first, but that's okay. And so there's a bunch of different ways you could do floors. And the first thing I usually like to do is add in a ring of a different kind of block on the outside. So I reckon stone bricks would look quite nice for this. Oops, that's the wrong thing. I meant to do walls. Walls, stone bricks. There you go. And that just makes the floor look, I don't know, it looks a lot cooler to me. Another thing you could also do is a checkered pattern. So maybe instead of doing a ring, we could do a checkered pattern of stone bricks. Obviously, it's a bit more time consuming, but it's going to look a lot kind of cooler as well. So just something like that, you could repeat throughout the whole base. You could use that for the pathway that leads throughout the base. And I feel like I just kind of want to make this look a little bit cozier. So what I'm going to do is actually add some spruce planks on the floor in this little square here. So I'm going to add a 2-block ring of stone around this. And I feel like that's just going to make the base look a lot cozier. And of course, I accidentally undid, so all of my crap here got undone, which is an absolute pain in the ass. But yeah, so with our floor done, let's move on to our next section, and we might make this into maybe a smelting area. So as you can see here, we have a corner section to work with, which is pretty good for anything that you want a lot more space for. For instance, furnaces. So let's do like an L shape of furnaces, and we could, if we wanted a lot of furnaces, we could do something like this. And for these top ones, we could definitely just add in like a little shelf design like this. Even I think that is probably going to look better as well. So yeah, if you want a lot of furnaces in your base, this is going to look perfect. Maybe if you're fine with just having like 8 furnaces or something like that, you could even just do something like this, and that allows you to put in some details as well. So maybe we could even put, a barrel like maybe in these corners to add some storage to our furnaces. You could even add barrels up here if you wanted to. And that of course allows us to add some details on top of these furnaces. For furnaces, I usually like to do kind of extinguished campfires, and that looks like fuel that would be used for the furnaces. I like to do like maybe amethyst buds as well. Flower pots also always look good, and lanterns too. And there you have it. That's a nice, simple little furnace area that looks awesome. Next, let's move on to crafting. And something I like to do for these is usually adding our solid crafting blocks along the bottom. And then, of course, once again, adding a shelf. But maybe this time we could do a shelf kind of like this. I think this is going to look quite nice. And on here, we could put in maybe an anvil. Right there, we could put a grindstone on this one. Maybe up here, we could put a stone cutter. And then maybe just like a lantern on here or something. I usually like to put the transparent blocks, or like the semi, you know, the blocks that aren't full blocks, they kind of have like, you know, interesting shapes. I like to put them on the shelves, as it just makes it look, you know, it makes it look better than just putting full blocks on there. That just kind of looks crap, you know? So yeah, that's a pretty nice looking crafting area. You could of course add in more details on there if we wanted to. And now for our next interior module, we could do some storage. And for storage, I usually like to keep these pretty, you know, chest heavy. You could of course make these look super nice by just doing something like this, maybe like adding... It's kind of hard in a corner actually to do storage. So maybe let's do storage on a flat wall like this. Yeah, so it'd be pretty easy to do just some kind of nice looking thing. But I usually like to keep these pretty, you know, efficient in terms of storage. So let's maybe do some sideways chests like this. And literally something just like that, you know, it doesn't look amazing, but you really need storage for survival. And I just kind of like to go all out with it. I'd honestly just fill up all of these walls with storage. But if you wanted your storage to look super nice, you could definitely do something like this. Having like maybe barrels along one side and just having double chests up like this. If we had a bit more area to work with, let's just say we'd extend out into these pillars. We could add barrels on either side, and then we could do chests like this. If you wanted something super fancy, you could do maybe like a little shelf like that to hold them up. Obviously, you're going to get even less storage. So yeah, I'd kind of just recommend just sticking to adding as much storage as you can into one section. And so actually, this corner might be the perfect spot to just kind of fill up entirely with chests. And honestly, to me, that looks perfectly fine. Now let's move on to our next section, which would be our brewing area. And for these, I like to keep them pretty unique looking. And I like to use polished andesite blocks, as it looks a lot like kind of like a table you'd work on. And so I might do something like that, maybe even actually something like that, and put our cauldron on this side. And then I'd have brewing stands on top of those. And sometimes instead of a cauldron, I like to actually use a spruce trap door kind of system like this. Actually, we might even do it like this. And then you can put water in that. And that way you have an infinite kind of water source that you can use for your potions and stuff. Obviously, that's clipping through that there, which is kind of annoying, so I might just do that to cover that up. And then, yeah, obviously for our top area here, you could maybe add in more brewing stands if you wanted to, but something I really like to do for these is actually just add a row of barrels along the top and keep my potion ingredients in there. If you had a bit more area to work with, you could definitely just extend this out if you wanted to, do something like that, and that would allow you to do some interesting things, like maybe alternate between brewing stands and storage up here. If you wanted a bit more of a rustic vibe, let's say you had obviously a ceiling up here, and that would connect up with some chains like that, and that makes it look like a hanging shelf. You could even replace these with just some more details if you wanted something a little bit more fancy looking, just something like that. If you wanted to look like this was a sink and it had a tap, you could easily add in a tripwire hook, and that's one of my favorite details to add to something like that. And also pressure plates and stone buttons are just great little accenting details to add on any kind of stone surface. If you wanted a kitchen or anything like that, a pressure plate is a great kind of stovetop looking thing. Buttons look like any kind of like utensil or something like that. But yeah, that's a pretty cool looking brewing area. I'm happy with that. But yeah, I think that's just about going to do it for interiors. I've pretty much covered some of the main things. You can obviously just repeat these same kind of principles into any other kind of interior design. But let's just take a look at a couple of the builds I've made. For instance, this one I made with a good builder, Cryptozoology, and we can take a look at a couple of different interior styles. As you can see, this is completely different to what I showcased previously. We have a very open area. We've got a big old smelting wall on the side here. We've got our brewing on this side here. This is very similar to what I just showcased. And another really good tip as well, if you have a lot of floor space that you don't really know what to do with, these island kind of designs work really well. You can make these out of like just spruce wood or stone or anything, wrap them in some signs and some trapdoors, and put any kind of detailing blocks on top of them. It's always going to look good. And then heading upstairs, this is going to be one of my most favorite interiors up here. We've got a nice hallway that leads over into some separated rooms. We've got a bedroom here with just a bunch of awesome details on some shelves. And then on this side, we have our enchanting and our crafting room. So we've got our enchanting in this corner. We've got our crafting here and a little bit of storage too. And then another thing you can do with attics as well is actually just completely fill them to the brim with storage. And then in the back here, we just kind of have an all-purpose like crafting and detail kind of area. And yeah, that's just an example of using some interiors, you know, in practice. Next up, let's take a look at castles, with this one here being the biggest castle I've ever created. As you can see, it is pretty unique as well. It is just completely submerged in the water, which is, yeah, I think it looks pretty cool. But we have a lot of interesting things here to cover for castles specifically. Let's first take a look at these towers on the corners here. And so with this base in particular, I have three different tower designs that I'm using here. So we have two identical ones here at the front. And then as we transition to the back, we have a slightly taller variant of our front one. And then on the left side, we have a massive, even taller and wider variant as well. And that just gives us a really unique look to this castle, because even if we stand at the front here, you can kind of see like it has a tiered effect. It goes like from small to medium to large, and it just looks awesome. As you can see here, we've employed the inset wall design that I talked about previously. We've also got pillars out of polished andesite. Then we go into stone bricks and then our inset walls. And that just adds a lot of depth and visual interest to our towers here. Another thing I haven't really talked about before is building in, you know, odd numbers. I love to build in odd numbers because it's just for me, it just makes it so much easier to detail stuff. I hate building in even numbers, and you'll rarely see any of my builds using even numbers. So yeah, honestly, just kind of figure out what works well for you. I feel like it's probably going to be odd numbers. So yeah, and I'll just kind of just stick to that. Over here, we have a medieval gate, which is kind of similar to the castle theme here. And you can just kind of see I've employed a couple of different, you know, ways of building towers and stuff. We have a gate between these as well with a bit of a portcullis that's raised up here, which I think looks awesome. Definitely a really nice entrance design for any kind of castle. And here is yet another castle design. This time, yeah, we're floating. Just don't worry about that. But on the outside, we've added some crop farms, which is a really nice detail to add outside of castles. Just having a ring of farms around this would look awesome as well. But you can see some different tower designs here. I've employed some leaves kind of like as a separation point. We've also used a lot of stone bricks in this. Honestly, I would probably have tried to use more stone in this nowadays, but it still looks good. We've also added an archway in between here, some fence gates in this top design. In our gate as well, we have that portcullis design as well. And on the inside, we actually have a bit of a keep inside, which I think looks really cool. You could, of course, just kind of make this into a flat roof if you wanted to have a massive interior. Or you could do kind of the more realistic thing, which is actually having a keep on the inside of your castle walls. Okay, the next topic that I want to cover is going to be landscape. So we have this really nice area here that actually is going to allow me to showcase pretty much everything I want to cover, which is going to be perfect. So the first most basic thing is, you know, just smoothing off landscape. It's one of the things I pride myself on because I always have a habit of smoothing off landscape and making it look nice. Like this area right here, even though this is completely naturally generated, it's honestly, it's pissing me off, okay? You see, we've got these like really hard angles, especially over here and over here. And so to make this look more natural and just more pleasant to the eye is just smoothen it off like this. That might even be a little bit too smooth, maybe even just something like that. But just breaking up these little corners and just smoothening them out, you know, instead of just adding a single block like that, add a couple of blocks and just make it more of a gradual kind of smooth kind of slope like that, you know what I'm saying? Like even over here, we could make this a bit more interesting because right now this is almost just like a straight line. We can make it kind of come out to a point out here and then go back that way. And to do that, we could honestly just add in a little bit more sand here. We could have this branch out to grass along here. I'm actually going to remove that sand. And we'll just add a bit more of an interesting shape, maybe something like this that could come to a point there and then we could slowly transition back down to grass over here. And then once we fill in this entire section, you can see how different this landscape is going to look. Yeah, like that. So now instead of just a straight line, it's more of like a curve and it comes back around this way. You know, you don't need to go that crazy on, you know, the landscaping, but it's just something that I really enjoy doing. And I feel like it should definitely be done by more people. You know what I'm saying? And so another thing to do with landscaping is going to obviously be ponds and stuff like that. It is mainly just landscape. And so we also have this perfect area to work with here. So the first thing I'm going to do with this pond is actually replace all of the ground with the same general kind of block, which is going to be sand here. I'm going to get rid of all of this clay and this gravel and stuff and just replace it with sand because generally ponds and stuff look best with just one type of block or multiple of, you know, like a similar kind of block. And something else that works really well for ponds and stuff like this is instead of just having it a completely flat bottom, we could add in a little bit of depth to this and make it go a little bit deeper towards the middle. Now, obviously you don't really want to go directly up to the edge like this. You kind of want to have at least a one block gap around the side, something like that. You could even make it look a little bit more uneven with something like that as well. And we can just kind of branch this out this way. I mean, I'm not going to do this entire lake because it's going to take forever, but we might just go to there. And now because this is sand, we can actually use sandstone slabs and stairs to make a bit more of a smoother transition. Now I'm not talking about adding this to every single block around here, but maybe just a couple, mainly in the corners along here is where it's going to kind of look the best and not really overdo it. So you can see even just something a little bit like that just adds a lot more visual interest to this pond and makes it look a little bit more, you know, sculpted and beautiful looking, I guess. Now if this was a pond where we had dirt on the bottom, I would probably use stone slabs and stone stairs and make that look like kind of little rocks. And I wouldn't really add like this transition. I'd probably just scatter them around the place. I might even have a pond that we can look at where I've explained that already. Okay, here we actually have a medieval landscape, which is pretty cool. Yeah, you can see here I've added in little stones throughout here, just along the edges. And you can see a pretty cool landscape around here as well. We've got like this nice kind of cliff, like rock things around the place. We've got a nice little waterfall that trickles down. One thing I love about waterfalls is having like several platforms instead of just having one giant drop, have it go down to a bit of like a flatter kind of area and then go down again. It definitely just makes them look a little bit more, you know, interesting compared to just the giant drop of a waterfall. You know what I'm saying? Let's head back to our little area. And so continuing on with our pond decorations, I would definitely add a hefty amount of seagrass into any kind of pond. Can even get out the bone meal just to add some thicker patches of it. But I mean, it also does depend on the build, like maybe something like this with sand. You don't want to go too heavy on the seagrass, maybe just keep it a bit more on the lighter side, but maybe for like a grass kind of pond, you'd probably want more. So yeah, that's looking pretty good. You can also, of course, add a bunch of lily pads into any kind of pond. I prefer to not make them touching the edges. I like to have them more towards the middle. I personally think that looks a lot nicer. But yeah, just something like that, nothing too crazy. Also, of course, we do have kelp blocks. I don't really use them too much, but you know, it just adds a little bit of variety in the water. And now as for decorations and landscaping around any kind of pond, you can definitely use a bunch of different things. I'm going to showcase, you know, you could also just use bone meal to add in a bunch of grass around the edges. This is definitely a lot easier in survival, but in creative, I prefer to honestly just hand place my grass as I get it, you know, exactly where I want it. We've also got sugarcane, which obviously looks amazing next to any kind of pond. Another pro tip, if you don't want your sugarcane to grow up to the max height, you can use a piece of string and put that on top, and that'll just stop it from growing any higher. And it's a nice, like, pretty much invisible way to, yeah, just block any kind of plant or sapling or anything from growing. Another really awesome detail to any kind of pond is leaves. Having leaves start on the edges and then branch down into the water looks awesome, especially when they're waterlogged as well. So just small little bushes like this, even just around the edges, not actually going into the water, can definitely just make them look a lot more lush. And yeah, there we go. That's pretty much everything I do for a pond in terms of landscaping and terraforming. I think that is looking awesome and nice and lush now. And now the final thing I want to talk about with landscaping is actually going to be cliff faces and overhangs and stuff like that. So right now you can see this area right here, it's kind of boring. It's just, you know, it's just a hill. But But we can transform this into something truly awesome looking. And so first, what we're going to do is we're going to bring this to be just completely flat. So I'm just going to add in a bunch of blocks like this to get this completely flat. Let's get rid of these blocks as well. I'm also going to get rid of this gravel because it's kind of ugly. And there, so we're left with something like this. And what we can do with this is actually just replace all of our bottom blocks here with some stone. Just up until about there, I might even, leave a little bit of a gap between like the layers there, and that's looking good. The next thing I would do is get some stone slabs and stairs, and just on this layer here, just add in a couple of slabs and some stairs like this, leave some gaps in there as well, and then you can bring out this top layer of grass and put it on top of this here. We can just have this connect up over. I might even add another piece in there, and then just kind of add in a little bit of a mound there as well. And you can see we've just added this nice overhang here to our cliff, and it's just, it just makes it look way more like, you know, interesting, I guess. We could add some hanging roots in these little gaps. We could add lanterns in there as well. So that's added some detail to the top of our area, but in here we're definitely lacking a bit of detail. So what we could do is just add in some kind of chunks taken out. And to make this look nice, what I like to do is just add stone, stairs, and slabs throughout this. And that just makes it feel like it's, like a big crack in the wall or something like that. And over here we might do something like that as well. So that just adds a little bit of depth and stuff into there. You could even do something cute like this, chuck a lantern on there. Of course, you could add bushes hanging down from this. You could do all kinds of things. But that's just a general look at, all of the kind of landscaping stuff that I mainly do, which is just smoothing off edges, ponds and lakes and decorations around them, and then just cliffs as well. All right, and so that actually leads in nicely to the next topic I want to cover, which is pathways. I've got a couple here to cover, and the first one here being a bit of a natural style path where we just have dirt path. We've introduced a little bit of coarse dirt into that as well. Not too much. You can see we've gone very light on the coarse dirt here. We've also added back a little bit of grass in between the pathway blocks through here, and we have a nice curved shape as well. It's like a bit of an S shape, and so obviously that is just a lot nicer than your standard straight dirt pathway, and it's just a great way to add more detail to any kind of village or, you know, literally anything you want to add a pathway to. Definitely just spend a bit more time and make it look a bit more interesting. Of course, we've got details on the sides as well, like these little broken up fences. We've got bushes, we've got some extinguished campfires to look like fallen logs or something like that, and adding them in between bushes as well as a really nice detail. And so heading over here, we have the same pathway shape, except we've just used some different blocks or a different block palette for this pathway. We've utilized stone bricks, cobblestone. We've even got freaking blast furnaces in there, which is kind of crazy. Pressure plates and buttons are also a really nice detail to add either on paths or to the side of paths. And that just obviously looks like little stones and stuff as well. And then we've got the same kind of little details on the sides. We've got a bench, we've got bushes, and this time we have some walls with lanterns on top. This time over here, we've got a brick and granite theme as well. It's pretty much all the same kind of stuff. And then finally, we have a quartz slash diorite path over here. And so I also will just quickly showcase how to get that path shape. So my general rule of thumb when I build any kind of path is I have a 3-wide path most of the time, and I'll have the same kind of shape for the first 3 blocks. Then as we transition into the next shape, we want to have that same 3-wide kind of thing, but we're going to start it over here instead. And so we're going to extend this to be 3 blocks. And then I might just do the same thing for this next shape here, and then now we can maybe start going back this way, and then maybe instead of just going fully back that way, we can come back this way once again. And so you can see there, that's just like a really interesting pathway shape. It's very simple and easy to do. Sometimes I might, instead of just having like this kind of, it's almost like a 2-block kind of pathway here, I like to sometimes just add in an extra block here to make it feel like it's still 3 blocks throughout the whole thing. And so I'll add that maybe there and there, there up here, maybe down here as well, and so that gives a bit of a thicker feel to the pathway as well. So whichever way you prefer to do, obviously it's up to you. And maybe if you need to do a sharp corner as well, instead of just continuing on with our pathway shape like this, you could maybe just do 2 blocks and then keep going like this, and that gives you a bit more of a sharp turn. Or you can just also, of course, just completely have a turn like this, and that's still going to look great as well. And so yeah, that's just like a really cool and interesting little shape design for a path instead of just a completely freaking, bloody straight line. And as for texturing for this, I of course would just add in probably some stone bricks and some andesite. That's my favorite texturing blocks for a stone path. I'm just going to lightly sprinkle those in, nothing too crazy. And you can see I'm just kind of just randomly placing them everywhere, and that just gives a really nice look. Honestly, I might even add in a little bit more stone bricks throughout the place too. I like to keep the stone bricks predominantly on the edges as well, just because it kind of outlines the path a bit better as well. So you can see that's kind of like texturing, but with like intent, I guess. So you're mainly keeping them on the sides, and that frames the pathway a little nicer as well. Obviously, you don't have to do that, but yeah. And then from this point here, you just add in all of your decorations. Add in some broken up fences like this, have some lanterns on some of those. Then we could go for some bushes as well, with some extinguished campfires in around those. And then the next detail we could add is just some stones once again. Have them on the outsides of the paths, even on the path as well. Just don't go too overboard with them. And yeah, so that's just a nice little detailed pathway. Doesn't take too much extra time to make something like that look way better than just a simple straight line with one block. But yeah, that's how you get a really nice detailed pathway. And so that also nicely leads into... what the hell? We got some boys around here. Why the hell have they spawned in? But yeah, like I was saying, that nicely leads onto another segment, which is general details and decorations. You can literally add these anywhere beside pathways, in villages, next to bases, or literally anything. And they just serve the simple function of filling dead space and making areas feel a bit more lively. So you can see on the side of this medieval pathway here, we have a couple of different decorations. We've got a little bit of a campsite. We've got a wagon design here with a bunch of details on top of that. We've just got some scattered barrels and chests and extinguished campfires with all kinds of little decorations on there. We've got a dirt path that branches off this as well to make it look like it's a bit of a used area too. And then over here is a bit more of a different kind of pathway. We've got like a junction here that goes to... what the hell? Muscle Cock Grove and Boner City. Okay. I don't know what I was thinking when I made this, but, this was to showcase the new 1.20 features at the time. This is a bit of an old build. You can see this time we've actually added a little man-made river that runs alongside this as well. We've got like a big rock over here, a big mossy rock. Actually, I don't know if I built that or if that was in the biome. Yeah, I think I actually built that. We've got some scattered pots and pot plants and stuff like that. And then again, over here, another little campsite. And that's just some general decorations you can add throughout any kind of pathway or even a village too. You can see here I've just scattered a bunch of these random like piles of barrels and chests and stuff everywhere. We've got these little garden beds too. These are awesome. These were made by Extra Builds. Fences and bushes and even crop farms and stuff like that are just perfect little details to add to any kind of village. Okay, the next topic I want to cover is going to be custom trees. Let's say I wanted to add a custom tree right here. Now, custom trees can be quite a daunting task to cover, but with my patent pending custom tree technique that I've been pioneering throughout the years, I'm going to make it nice and easy for anyone to make a custom tree. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to make, obviously, the main trunk. And this is also going to dictate, how high the tree is going to be. And so from this point here, what we're going to do is we're going to add several branches kind of branching out. We're almost building like a very realistic kind of tree. So we're just going to add branches coming out in all kinds of different directions and different heights as well. We might even add little mini branches coming off of the main branch. I've never actually done that before with my custom tree technique, so we're gonna see how that goes. But yeah, we're gonna just add a bunch of these branches going up and down all kinds of different ways. And the height is also gonna dictate how big our branches are gonna be as well. Obviously, if we have a smaller tree, maybe like up to here, we're just going to add very small little branches. But because we have a big old tree here, we're going to add some very big branches. So this technique obviously isn't meant to be kind of the be-all, end-all. You know, once you've built the tree with this technique, it's going to look perfect. You're going to have to add some touch-ups here and there to it. But that's the general kind of idea there. You want a shape a bit like that with maybe 4 or 5 kind of branches. And now the next step is going to be simply covering every single exposed face of these branch blocks here with some leaves. On the sides, underneath, on the top, just every single exposed block, we're going to completely cover it. Just give me a second. I'm going to get all of this done real quick right now. All right. And so with that done, you can see our custom tree right now is, it's definitely looking, like I said before, it can sometimes look a bit weird once you've covered all of those branches, but that just shows us that we need to probably add a bit more branches to this because right now we just have kind of an X shape and it looks a bit weird. Also, what we're going to do is we're going to cover this top stem as well, which is just obviously looking a bit weird. We might extend that to be a little bit higher too. And so what we might do is just add another branch in the middle of all of these and maybe vary the heights a little bit more as well. Like on this one, we might start down here and kind of make this one come up like this. Maybe not as far as well. I think these are sticking out a little bit too far. So I might cut down on these just a touch and we're going to add in a couple more branches around the place and we'll just see how that looks once I've done those. All right, and there you go. Now you can see our tree is really starting to take shape. This thing is looking pretty nice now and nice and bushy. You can see I've also changed some of the rules as well. I haven't added leaves to absolutely every single block, especially these lower branches here, it does look a little bit nicer having those exposed. And it also allows us to do things like add lanterns underneath those, which is just a really nice detail for any kind of tree. Another tip is to use the Better Leaves add-on if your tree is still looking kind of poo. You can see once we've added this on, our tree is looking, it's looking way better. I don't really use this resource pack anymore because it does make the game run a lot slower, which I can instantly tell. You can see our tree is looking really nice and lush. I'm personally going to leave that off for now. But the next thing you can really see here is that our tree is looking very top heavy. We've got this little tiny stem here for this big old bushy tree at the top. And so what we can do to remedy that is, of course, just obviously thicken up the tree. But we don't just want to kind of make a giant thick ass trunk, you know? So what we're going to do is actually break it up and make it look a little bit, you know, just not as thick. And so what I mean with that is we're going to add kind of a broken up stem as if it's, you know, been a 3x3 kind of tree, but we're taking big old chunks out of it like that. Another thing you can do to smoothen that off a bit more is actually use oak stairs. Obviously, it doesn't have to be oak, but whatever wood that you're using, use that same kind of wood just to smoothen off some of these edges. You can even use some fences as well to get more of a smoother kind of feel to it. And yeah, there we go. We've thickened up that tree base a little bit more, and it's looking a little bit more, sturdy, I guess. We can even add some slabs to these to transition into those branches a bit more nicely too. And yeah, there we go. That's the perfect little custom tree design there. I mean, it might not be exactly perfect as I've just kind of roughly done it, but that's all of the techniques that you need to use to basically make a nice custom tree. You can see here for this tree design, I've used that same kind of thing, except I've made it a bit more of a thicker trunk this time, but we still have our stairs and our slabs throughout. Up in here, you can't really tell, but we still have our stems, like our little branches, except it's just kind of been, they're kind of more closer together, which gives us this more bushy look. And I've made it into a bit of a weeping willow style tree by adding these like drooping leaves coming down on the sides. And here's another really cool custom tree that I made that is once again scaled up pretty large from the previous one. We've even got these roots kind of sprawling out into the ground, and then we just have these like big branches kind of coming out on all of the sides here. And I've also added vines to this as well, just to make it feel more like a like kind of weeping willow tree. But yeah, there you go, that's how you make a really nice custom tree. All right, next up, let's have a quick little look at gardens. So I have this theoretical house here where I want to add a garden to the front of it. So you might think, you know, gardens are pretty easy, all you got to do is just add a bunch of different types of flowers and that's it, call it a bloody day. But you can go a bit more in depth with that and have a much looker nice in garden, with the first thing being to replace the actual ground block with something a bit more different. So instead of just grass, let's maybe go for some coarse dirt. And there we go, that's just a nice and easy way to separate our garden from the rest of, you know, the surrounding landscape. You could also add a fence around it if you wanted to, but I personally prefer replacing the ground block as it takes up less area as well. So the next thing we can do is obviously start adding in our blocks to our garden. You can see here I have a couple of blocks. I have a couple of flowers here that are very similar in color. We've got mainly white and some pink as well. You can take a look through all of the different flowers here. Maybe let's actually go for a predominantly blue kind of purpley themed one. I just, you know, it's my favorite color. Might as well. Might even chuck some pink, maybe even a little bit of sprinkle in, a bit of white as well. And see, that's probably actually too many flowers most likely. So let's maybe get rid of that one. So now what we can do is just start adding in our flowers. And what I like to do is just scatter them all around the place, mainly so we don't have two of the same flower type touching directly next to each other. So I just scroll through all of my different flowers. See, I've already done it there. And just add them in all different kinds of areas. And there we go. You can see that is our garden there. But right now it's very flowery, you know? And so a great way to break up the flowers and make it look a little bit more natural is to add in some grass in between them. So let's just come in and remove just a couple of our flowers throughout here. Literally just that much. And we're going to replace those with some short grass, just like that. And you can see that gives us a nice kind of, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it breaks up the repetitiveness of the flowers and makes it look a whole lot nicer, in my opinion. Now, also, if you want to add in tall flowers or tall grass, let's say maybe you wanted to add some lilacs and some peonies into this. Instead of adding these at the front, I would predominantly keep these on the back layer. So we might replace maybe that one, this one, and we're going to keep them all pretty much at the back, obviously not covering the window. And so that's obviously going to not block up the rest of the garden by adding them at the front. Also, if you have like a freestanding garden, like over here is a really nice example. If you have a freestanding, well, actually, it's not really a nice example, but maybe this is your garden here, you'd probably just add your big or your tall flowers into the middle. and not on the sides. But yeah, over here is another example of a really nice kind of garden layout. We've got four separated areas. We've got this just like flower field using all of the same things that I showcased previously. We've got the tall grass only on the edges, and we've broken up all of the flowers with some grass as well. Then over here, we have some like mini trees. I really love this design using a fence and then just two leaf blocks above. Over here, we've got our custom tree design, of course. And then over here, we also have a little bit of a waterfall too. So yeah, that's just a quick little look at some garden designs and techniques. Let's move on to the next topic. So farms, they're amazing things. They're easy to build, they always look great, and they're highly useful as well. You literally can't go wrong with a nice crop farm. So over here, I just have a bunch of different designs. They're literally my most favorite thing. I'm pretty sure they're the most built thing that I've made as well. And they just come in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. Really just awesome things to add alongside any kind of build into any village and stuff like that. And so the main thing I will say is don't just make flat farm fields. Like, don't just build them on here, or don't, like, you know, flatten off an area to make a farm. Definitely just make them to kind of conform to the landscape. So I'm going to quickly add one in here, and I'll make a flat one as well, just so we can showcase the difference in how cool they can look on an actual landscape. So here we go. We just have a boring old plain flat farm. It definitely still looks awesome, but compared to this one over here, just that simple elevation change that happens a few times just makes this look a lot more natural, a lot more like, I don't know, it just adds some variation to it and makes it look awesome, dude. Don't flatten off your farms, okay? Build them to the landscape. Okay, next up, let's cover bridges. I found this really nice spot here to add a bridge to, and we're just gonna make one from scratch, and I'm gonna show you how I do it. So I figured out my block palette. Of course, you can see I've got the classic spruce and stone. It's the style I'm most confident with, so that's the style I'm gonna show you guys. And so the first thing we're gonna do is figure out the layer or the level that we want to build our bridge on. And I'm thinking this is gonna be perfect right here. And so we need to find our start and our endpoint. We already have a nice little area right there for our endpoint, and that is 5 blocks wide, which is actually perfect. That's the exact kind of size I want to do. And so we're going to add in our little pillars on this side, and we'll add them in on this side as well. Now we need to add some in between here. And it depends on what kind of bridge you want. If you want one big arch, then of course you'll just have these pillars on the sides. If you want two arches, you'll add one more pillar right in the middle here, and you'll have two arches like that. You know, if you want three arches and so on and so forth. I think I want two big arches. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find the center point and build another pillar in the middle here. So I'm thinking this might be our center point. It looks like it is. We can make sure it is by counting the blocks in between them, of course. So we've got 8 blocks in between both of these, which does actually make it kind of harder because I'm used to building in odd numbers. Like if we had a gap of 7, I'd be laughing. But right now we got 8, which makes it kind of hard. Obviously, we could make it the kind of gap that we want by just simply bringing these in 1 block closer. I'm just going to challenge myself and do a 8 block gap. So there we go. We've got all of our pillars situated. Now what I want to do is actually add in our pathway that'll connect both of our sides. And I'm going to do this with some spruce slabs. I'm simply just going to build this all the way down to the opposite side over here. All right, so there's our pathway. I've actually decided I'm going to completely ditch the stone and I'm just going to stick with spruce. And so what I'm going to do next is either you could add your pathway kind of out here and add details on top of this, like a fence or something like that. You could do that if you wanted to. But what I'm actually going to do instead is add some spruce logs in between these here to kind of make the bridge feel a little bit more, supported, I guess. And I guess on top of this, we can still add those details. And also this is looking, it looks a little bit strange. So what I might do is actually strip all of these blocks in between here. We also need to extend our pillars down a little bit. And I'm just going to expose them a little bit as well like that. We're going to do the same on this side, just expose it and build it down a little bit more like that. Okay, and so that gives us a nice area to work with for our arches. And let's get started with those. So our arches are actually going to be probably the most difficult part of the bridge because we need to come up with a shape that's going to look nice, basically. So we can start with the middle point here, which we have an even number, which kind of sucks. So I'm going to add 2 there. Then what I might do is add a full block on this side. And now, this point here is where you can either have a very kind of harsh arch, like it could start from there and be like that, or you can have a bit of a gradual arch like that. I think we might go for the more kind of gradual arch. And so I might do a shape kind of like that, maybe even incorporate some stairs in there as well. It's a little bit too harsh. So let's maybe try something like this. And yeah, I like that. It's a little bit more extended than I liked, but I think that's going to look nice. Let's add this on the other side and just get a full look at how it's going to look. So there we go. There's our arch design. And I actually think I messed up. I kind of want this to be inset 1 block, actually. So thankfully we have world edit. So I'm just going to cut this out and I'm going to paste it 1 block in. That is too far. There we go. That's looking better. And I'm once again just going to use world edit to simply paste it on the other side instead of having to build it again. What the hell? Where did it go? There we go. There's both of our arches added in. Now you can see we do have this kind of harsh drop off here. And to fix that, honestly, what I might do, I might try something like this. Let's have that transition into slabs like that to kind of open up that face there a little bit. Yeah, I think that looks pretty cool. I like that. On top of here, let's add in some details like I was talking about before. And so because we're working with even numbers, I'm going to do something like this. We're going to have two fence gates and then a fence and then repeat that design, obviously. Yeah, that looks really cool. Then just to get a little bit of a different kind of block in here, I reckon some stone slabs on top of these pillars is going to look nice like that. And that actually also gave me another idea right here. We could add kind of a secondary arch to this. Maybe some stairs like that. And that just kind of like frames that secondary arch in there a lot more nicely as well. I really like that actually. Then another awesome detail I love adding to these kind of areas is a little bit of a bracing design with a spruce trapdoor and then some signs beside those. And that just fits in perfectly right there. Obviously on this side, we're just going to add a single trapdoor and a sign like that. And yeah, dude, that is looking awesome. I love that. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot more you could do to this bridge. Obviously, we'd add all of these details onto the other side as well. Right now, it's just kind of blank. And I'm just going to save time by not doing that. Another detail that looks awesome is adding some of these, like these wrapping signs around all of the pillars. This adds a little extra detail. You could add several of those going up and down, however many you really want. And also, of course, some lanterns on these fences would work perfectly as well. And there you have it. There's a nice and easy little custom bridge design. Nothing too crazy. Just wanted to showcase some of those techniques. Now let's go take a look at some of the bridges I have made previously. Over here we have a, it's floating, don't worry about that. But you can see we have the same kind of design here. I wanted a single arch, but this time I added a bunch more pillars as well. Honestly, we probably could have left this central pillar out entirely, just had the two on this side and the two on this side, and that would have looked a lot nicer here, instead of just having this weird kind of like ending block. But overall, it still looks really awesome. I love this design as well of having a little pass through down on the bottom for the bridge. And over here, we have the exact same shape and height bridge, except using stone, and we've made it look like a bit of a dam as well, using predominantly stone blocks. We have the water higher on this side and lower on this side, and it's kind of filtering out through there. Over here, we have like kind of a larger variant of the bridge that I just made before. We've got the two massive archway designs. We've also added like this kind of roofed area on the top, which is another awesome detail to add to bridges. You could even have this whole thing being roofed, or you could have a roof only on this side and this side. And we've also had a bit of an advancement in the lanterns. We've got actual like lamp posts throughout this as well, which is pretty cool. And another final finishing thing that I'll say to add to your bridges, as long as they're big enough, is just add a bunch of these little details throughout them. It just makes them feel a lot more lively and less empty. You know, without those, this bridge would just look boring and bland on the top, but adding those in makes it look awesome. Next up, another one of my most favorite build types is fishing docks. If you live near a lake or a river, you have to add a dock to it without question. And so docks are, once again, very easy to build. They're kind of similar to bridges, except they're lower and they don't go, you know, obviously all the way across the water. And so with docks, usually what I like to do is have a nice little flat area to work with here. I'm actually going to flatten that off even more. And I like to have our pillar blocks right on the edge here. And then I always usually leave a gap of 3 in between those. I'm going to do something like this, and I might have this be a bit of a shorter dock just so I can easily show you all of the stuff I want to show you. So we're just going to have a short dock like that. I mean, you can have this go out as far and in different shapes as you wanted. I'm just going to leave it like that. And so yeah, docks are very similar to bridges in that they are literally just kind of pillars with a bit of a walkway on top. Now at the ends of the bridges, what I usually like to do is have this U shape like this. It just makes it look like a nicer docking point for boats. There you go. It's a nice little, yeah, docking point for boats. You can even have them on the outsides as well if you wanted to. Now you can literally just leave it like this. This is a respectable dock. I mean, it's lacking a bit of detail, but still very nice. But the next thing I would definitely do is add in a bit of a trim design to the sides of this. I usually like to use spruce trapdoors for this, and then have this design with with alternating fence gates and fences on the sides. Now, similar to our bridge before, we can add some stone slabs on top of these if we wanted to. And then we could slap some lanterns on top of those fences. Now, on docks, I definitely love to add in barrels and chests and stuff like that. Just make sure you don't place barrels like directly in front of fences, because it'll connect up next to it. You can add a chest there and it won't connect, which is, just a handy little tip for you. Yeah, just some general little details like that just livens it up a whole lot more. And yeah, that's a very respectable little dock there. Next, I'm just going to showcase you some other docks that I've built, with this one here being a very popular one on my channel, which does have a full tutorial video as well. So you can just search my name and then fishing dock and it'll come up. But here you can see I've employed that exact same technique, that exact same design. Throughout here, we've got our gaps of 3, we've got our fences and fence gates, except this time I've added a couple of different branches benches. Like over here, we have a boat rack. I mean, there was once boats in there. I don't know where they've gone. We've also added some lamp posts onto this as well, which is really awesome little detail for some more established docks. On the left side here, we have our docking area, and it's a bit more of a, you know, an advanced design. Instead of just that simple U shape, we've got, you know, a couple of different areas for our boats to dock into, and we have this kind of connector as well that's connecting them up together, which is pretty cool. Over here, we have our shack, or like kind of like a trading stall or something like that. Maybe like it sells fish and stuff like that and boats. And then over here, we have a fishing platform as well. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of different things you can do to docks. A really nice and easy way to liven up your rivers or your oceans or lakes or anything like that. Highly recommend adding these into your world. Next up, let's take a look at underground bases. They're absolutely my favorite type of base. Literally, instead of building walls and a roof and all of that crap like this base over here, instead you just carve out a massive area and you literally gain blocks instead of losing blocks, which is just awesome. There's just nothing better than an underground base, you know what I'm saying? So this base right here is my ultimate underground base, which does have a tutorial video on my channel. It's the most popular video on my channel. You guys love it, so I definitely did something right with this, I think. And so my general theory with underground bases is to have kind of modular sections. You can see I have these pillars throughout all of the base, and then I have these sections that are all the same kind of size. They're all 5 blocks long. So you could literally just mix and match these and put these wherever you wanted. And I love to just design these little sections with that in mind. Like we have our brewing area, we have our bedroom, we've got our enchanting, we've even got freaking fully automatic sugarcane farms and all that kind of stuff. Another pro tip when it comes to underground bases is definitely light it up a lot. When it comes to this base here, I honestly did not put in quite enough lighting, I think. It is very dark in the middle here and in the middle of the roof as well. So I highly recommend just adding in a lot of lighting because, yeah, it does get very dark and gloomy in here, you know? Another thing is it can definitely be kind of hard to make these look good. You need a lot of experience with detailing, honestly, because you do have only these small little areas to add your stuff into. I mean, if you're building in this style, there's a lot of different underground base styles that you can build in, not just like this, but you're gonna have to do a lot of detailing and stuff to make them look good, especially for the larger underground base. You can see another underground base that's a bit smaller compared to the ultimate one. It's a lot more nicely lit as well. But you can see some of the detailing I've talked about, like adding like these rugs and stuff in. We've got like this leaf design above the bed. A nice little indoor farm right in the middle, just to brighten things up with the color as well. And here you can see I also even have an underground storage base as well, which is just pretty much completely chests. Except for this wall, we have some utility stuff, but it's mostly chests. So you can even just do stuff like that too. And well, that's it. If I missed anything, then, hey, that kind of sucks. If you want to watch a more in-depth video on how exactly to get started building, be sure to check this one out. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.